If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Right now, I'm talking with Kirk from Crowbar, Zero and Below, out now. It's been out for a little while now. Also, a solo record that it came out like right before the pandemic, so I feel like a lot of people didn't get the chance to digest it as much as they should have. Incredible record. But Kirk, the Riff Lord, welcome to the show. How are you doing today, man?
Doing good, thank you.
Absolutely, man. So are you back home in New Orleans right now, or are you out on tour?
I'm actually at a truck stop in Orlando, Florida, about to head to a gig.
Sweating your balls off right now.
Will be when I get off this bandwagon bus, yes. It's hot as hell out there.
Yes, it is, man. So, you know, we just got past, you know, a year and a half or 2 years or whatever of a lot of people not being out, be able to be out there and tour. You guys have been hitting the road pretty consistently now. How's it been out in the thick of it, man? You guys are touring machines right now.
I mean, everything, you know, thankfully is pretty normal. I mean, it really is, you know, as far as, you know, it doesn't feel like anything different really since before the pandemic. I mean, this is, you know, absolutely, you know, no restrictions anywhere for anything COVID related. I mean, I just went to Europe with Down.
Yeah.
Same thing. We played three big festivals over there, and it was like, you know, even at the air, on the planes, at the airport, it's just like it never happened. It's kind of weird, but you know, I'm just thankful everything seems like it's back to normal.
It's actually something I was thinking about with my friend. You know, we were just at my day job. You know, I do a day job as opposed to, you know, just doing radio full time. So I'm at my day job and we're just talking like, man, the last couple of years have been fucking weird. Like, think about those first few months where everyone was just like, you know, wiping down all their things, like might have COVID on it. Like, what a weird time that we made it through, you know, just like historic.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So during those times, you know, thinking back to that, what got you through it, man? What kept you sane? Were you writing riffs and stuff?
I started writing my second solo record, but the Crowbar, the Zero and Below was already completely recorded, mixed, mastered, everything, right before the pandemic started. So I started doing online guitar lessons and, you know, just stuff like just whatever. I mean, a lot of beer drinking, too much beer drinking, actually. So, Got pretty damn fat, so I quit drinking at home and started hitting the gym and eating good and lost a good bit of weight. You know, so I kind of got myself back to normal. Actually, went in much better shape than I was prior to the pandemic, so nice. That's good. But yeah, just, you know, just trying to keep busy, you know, with stuff around the house. I mean, you know, it wasn't. New Orleans was, the city of New Orleans was shut down, but where we lived, you know, restaurants and stuff like that, they had restricted hours, but I mean, they were open. I mean, it was normal, not really like, you know, bars and stuff, but, you know, we kind of quit going out to bars anyway at home. But yeah, so my wife, you know, she ended up, working at the little restaurant, seafood restaurant at the corner of our house where, you know, we used to eat out a couple of times a week. So, you know, that kind of helped, and I kept her busy and kept her sane. And I was doing the guitar, you know, guitar lessons in the evenings online. So that kind of kept me sane. So, you know, we were able to get through it, thank God.
That's one thing that, like, you know, and speaking of, like, Louisiana and everything, I was talking with Jimmy from I Hate God, and when he, during the pandemic, he was working with, like, metal, and he was doing some metal work, and...
Yeah.
So it was just an interesting thing, and it kind of really made me think, like, the people that grind in the underground, you know, we're always knowing that the bottom might fall out at any point, so just pivot, you know, pivot and be creative and learn something and just be able to hustle, man. So I respect it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned that you just did three big festival dates with Down. How was that, man? How was it back being back with Down, dude?
Oh, it was great. Well, we did some shows in the U.S. as well, but mm-hmm. It was first time over to Europe since 2019. So it was great to do. We did Copenhagen Fest, we did Grass Pop, and we did Hellfest. And all three of them were great. Got to see some great bands. Got to see Judas Priest three times. Saw the Scorpions, saw Saxon, saw Michael Schenker, a lot of my favorites. So you know, it was great.
In Europe, man, I'm so jealous. All summer long, it's like a culture of theirs is the open-air festivals. It's like every weekend they have two or three. And here in the United States, we have big rock festivals, mostly toward the Midwest and whatnot. But the metal festival is something like, what's it going to take to get a humongous metal festival like open-air in the United States, man? We need it.
I don't know. It's just such a different culture in Europe. It's mm-hmm. like... you know, people take much longer. Well, they call it they're on holiday, but, you know, it's like vacations.
Yeah.
You know, they get much longer paid vacations and stuff. And, you know, these people camp out. I mean, pretty much all of these festivals now are like a week long or longer.
Yeah.
You know, so you can camp out. People camp out the whole week, you know, and then, you know, they go from one to another. It's kind of crazy, man. It's I don't ever see it really getting that way in the United States, the way it is over there. It's just, you know, it's so much different. You know, I mean, there are some festivals here, so at least that's cool. You know, we did the Rockville Festival in Daytona with Down back in, what was it, May, I think.
Yeah.
We're doing Blue Ridge Festival in Virginia. Yeah. Crowbar and Down are both doing it coming up here in early September, so... But you know, it's good that they got some festivals in. They're starting to pop up little by little here. But I mean, Europe's got it. They've been doing it right for, you know, 30 some years.
We need to get you four paydays. We need to have Down, Crowbar, Kingdom of Sorrow, and Kirk Winstein solo. We need to have a four payday Kirk day. That'd be nice, right?
That'd be long, but it would be nice. The paycheck would be nice.
Absolutely, man. So okay, so you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about the solo album. So that was something that, I mean, I fell in love with that record. It's incredible. The Jethro Tull cover, especially, just like, I love it. You know, I love the Dreamweaver cover. So you throwing in a kind of a left field cover like that, it was awesome. You know, how long had a, you know, Kirk solo album kind of been in the planning?
It was kind of spontaneous, but it's like, I write so many things at home when I'm just, you know, fooling around on a guitar that I really like. It's just stuff that I can't really use with Crowbar Down or Kingdom or anything, you know, so it's just another outlet. It's like, I love to be creative, so it was another creative outlet for me. Gave me the opportunity, you know, to write, and you know, I was doing it in between tours. It actually took about 2 years to complete it, you know. Just I'd do a song here, a song there, you know, in between tours, and you know, but it came out great. I was really, really happy with it, and I'm really happy with the way the second one's coming out so far. So, second one's a little more rockish. Cool. It's not heavy by any means, but it's kind of just a natural progression from the first one. But it's just something I'll probably continue to do. You know, I mean, there's no reason to stop. But I enjoy it, and it's fun. You know, it's not supposed to be a, you know, commercial success. It's just something I love doing. So, you know, it's a lot of fun to make the first one, and I'm enjoying doing the second one.
Well, that's the beauty. I mean, it's such like a, you know, corporate lingo to say, a buzzword of like, you know, direct to consumer. But in reality, like, you have such a, you know, loyal fan base with Crowbar that you've built up, and with Down and everything, that, you know, it doesn't have to be quote unquote commercially successful. It can be, you know, the Kirk diehards. And if you have, you know, 100 people And obviously there's a lot more, but the idea was, there was someone who said years ago, you don't have to have 20,000 fans as long as you have 200 fans who, you know, give you 10 bucks a month or, you know, whatever, then you can build a career off of that. And you know,
yeah, exactly.
And it's a beautiful thing, man. So can you tell us a little info on the new solo record? Is it in the recording process?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much all written musically.
Nice.
It's got a few lyrics, and you know, I got some bass tracks to lay down, a little more guitar stuff. But you know, in general, it's like I said, it's really just a natural progression from the first one. So it's along the same line. It won't shock anybody. You know, if you enjoyed the first one, I think you'll love this one as well.
Nice, man. Well, in the past, you know, I've asked you about, you know, your process of writing riffs. You mentioned that you have a riff chair at home that you sit in and you just kind of you vibe out and you write some riffs. So on any given day, like, how many riffs are you sitting on, man? Is it just like books and books of riffs you got in your head?
I mean, the thing is, if I don't like video myself playing the guitar on my phone or something, then I forget about it. So I don't, like, if I'm going to sit down and write, you know, I have my phone right there ready to roll. And that way, you know, I don't forget it, because I write very spontaneously, you know. You know, it's easy, you know, for, like, I don't really have, you know, believe it or not, I really don't have any riffs laying around at this point.
Okay.
But it's always, you know, thankfully, it doesn't take long to sit down, pick up the guitar, and come up with something, you know, which is what I love. Like, at this point in my life and my career, everything, you know, the creative aspect of writing and putting together, you know, songs is really one of my favorite things about the whole music business.
Absolutely, man. And it, you know, the music, quote unquote, the music business, you know, the business side of it might be, you know, changing and mutating and all that stuff, but the artist and the art, and you can get it directly to fans and you know, whatever label you're on or whatever. It's a wonderful time for art and artists. So,
absolutely.
So, you know, I hearing that, you know, I just think, like, this guy has probably written and forgotten more riffs, more killer riffs than people can even imagine. So just of the stuff that's recorded, you know, with Crowbar and Down, like, what is in your head, like, the number one or a couple of the hardest Kirk riffs?
I don't know. It'd be tough to pick as far as heavy wise, you know. I mean, I love the outro of the Cemetery Angels. I love,
yes.
You know, I love songs like "To Build a Mountain," "The Lasting Dose."
Yes.
On a new record, you know, I really like "Chemical Gods." I love "Bleeding from Every Hole."
Mm-hmm.
So there's ones. I mean, I love the whole song, like "Broken Glass."
Yes.
We play that one live every night. So I mean, that song's full of riffs. That's a monster tune. So I mean, there's so many, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just enjoy writing them, man.
Nice, man. Well, so when we were talking, you know, you mentioned that your wife, she got a job at the restaurant, and we were talking about Jimmy working with some metal. If you never found that, you know, you loved music, if you never became a musician, can you even imagine where you would be? Like, what do you think you would have gotten into? Would you have been getting into the trades? What do you think you'd be up to?
Something sports related. You know, I probably would have went to, like, my daughter is gone. She goes to LSU, and she's gone for kinesiology. She wants to be a physical therapist.
That's awesome.
I mean, my other love besides music has always been sports. You know, so I probably would have tried to pursue something in that along those lines, you know.
Nice, man. Well, yeah, we got preseason games starting. The Seahawks up here in Seattle starting today. So, I mean, you're going to have
to... Oh, y'all playing tonight?
Yeah, we're playing tonight.
Okay, because we're trying to look. We know. We got DirecTV on the bus, so it's like, I know this. I looked it up, like, 2 weeks ago. I'm like, look, fellas, there's games every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday during preseason. So we got NFL Network and, you know, local networks and stuff like that. Our DirecTV is actually out of New York City, so like we get New York City local stuff.
Okay.
So, but you know, it's all. I mean, football's football. We all love it. So it's like it's just great even if I'm not paying much attention to the game, it's just great having it in the background, you know, just seeing it, watching it, hearing it, you know, so it's great. Can't wait to get home and get the real season started. And I'm a big college fan, so I'm really looking forward to college football starting up, too.
I think people would listen if you ever wanted to pivot to a different career. I think people would love a Kirk like sports radio, like a daily sports radio show in New Orleans. That would be amazing.
I'd love to, man. You know, I would have to really get a lot more knowledgeable. But I mean, if it's something that I, you know, set my sights on, I feel as though I could do it.
Yeah, man. You'd have to study up on soccer and hockey and stuff, too, right? So,
yeah, exactly. Things that I never really grew up on, you know.
Totally. I don't want to keep you too long, but, you know, during the pandemic and during, you know, even just any time, people can have real crappy days. You know, not every day is great. If you're having a crappy day or a stressful day, like, what's an album you can pop on that can either get out the aggression, can make you smile because it's positive, just an album that you can always go to on a crappy day?
Probably anything a Motorhead or anything by the original Kiss.
Yes. Nice, dude. Right on, man. Those are classics. Absolutely. So my last question for you, dude, before we let you go, if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got the scar.
I got a scar on my nose.
Okay.
We were in Bergen, Norway, and we had just played with Metallica.
Nice.
At a castle, and it was great in Bergen, Norway, which is on the west coast. It's like on the North Atlantic up there, North Sea. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty lit up. We had like a midnight flight or something, and we had been drinking pretty hard after the show. And I went to go step onto an escalator that wasn't running.
Oh, no.
Like it was. And when I stepped on it, I fell and pretty much broke my nose, like hit the bridge of my nose on a escalator step and busted it up pretty good. So that one I see in the mirror every day. But I laugh about it, you know. Like the next day, all right, we had a day off tonight. We flew from Bergen to St. Petersburg, Russia. But the day of the show, Hetfield saw me all bandaged up, and he goes, he's like, "How's it going, man?" He goes, I said, "Oh, I'm making it." He goes, "It's always something." I said, "Yeah, it is, man."
Hey, man, that'll remind you of those tours with Metallica. That's at least you got a cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. Man, Kirk, thank you so much for taking the time. Any final words for the Northwest audience?
I hope to see y'all soon. You know, the Sepultura tour didn't make it up that way. And this tour that we're on now was booked, like, intentionally, even though it's, like, 40 shows. It was basically all booked, for the most part, east of the Mississippi just because of, like, thankfully, fuel prices have been dropping. Yep. But when this was being booked, they were escalating every day, and we were like, well, there's no way we can afford to go out west with the fuel. Yep. So, you know, we have a lot of short drives, and we played Miami last night, which is about 3 hours to Orlando. Then we played Fort Walton Beach tomorrow, which is a couple of hours. So then it's Mobile, Alabama. It's like, you know, doing it in the Midwest and East Coast, you get a lot of 2-3-4 hour drives as opposed to 8-10 hour drives. So, you know, you fuel costs are a lot less. But yeah, we thank everybody in the Northwest for all the years of support, and hope to get up there as soon as we can.
Well, we'll make sure to come out and scream at our requests for you, because we love you up here in the Seattle, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Have a great one.
You too, man. Take it easy, Kirk.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.